Praise God. I'm going to the book of Luke, chapter number 19, this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Luke, chapter number 19. We're just going to look at one verse of scripture here this morning, and let me just give you a prelude into it. The Lord was passing through, and there happened to be a individual up in a tree by the name of Zacchaeus. And he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus, and he said, "Hey," he said, "why don't you come down?" He said, "I think I'm going to go to your house today." He said, "Salvation has come to your house today." Verse number 10, he says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Amen. Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. Amen. I was talking to a friend this morning. He got to talking about, he said, "Well, are you going to preach a Father's Day message?" I said, "I don't preach traditional messages. Very seldom, and it's just so hard. And it's just because I'm an inspirational, I preach by inspiration." And so I told him what I was going to preach. He said, "Oh, you ain't even preaching about the Father, you preach about the Son." Praise God. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." So we'll just leave it at that. Praise God. I want to talk to you this morning. Praise God. I was hoping we have a whole house full of sinners, and so I'm just going to preach like we got a house full of sinners here today. I believe we start preaching to them, they'll start coming. Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the seeking Savior. Amen. The seeking Savior. God, we love you today. We thank you for your word. We appreciate you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Would you put your hands together? Just magnify the Lord with a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah, God is worthy. We love you, Jesus. We praise you and magnify you. We exalt you and glorify your name today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated this morning. Obviously, as a child, at some point in time in our lives, we more than likely played the little game, hide and go seek. And so we know that there is one that is one chosen, or however, to be it, and they are the seeker. And they would go and they would hide their eyes or get in a particular place and that they could not see everybody else, and everybody else would go hide. And then they would call out, "Ready or not, here I come." And then they would begin to seek after those that were hid. And so we understand what seeking is, but it's just simply an attempt to find, the attempt or desire to obtain or to achieve something. And I would say that that just simply fits the nature of humanity so greatly, in that it is our nature and within our capacity to seek after knowledge, to seek after things, seek after different things that are unknown. And in reality, that is exactly the way that we are made. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 11, Lord said that he hath made everything beautiful in his time, and also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. It does not mean that he has set the love of the world or the things of the world or that within our hearts, but when we look at different translations, the English Standard Version says, also he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Another translation, the Amplified Version, says that he has planted eternity into men's hearts and minds, a divinely implanted sense and a purpose of working through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. In other words, that it is the inept desire that is planted inside of man to know the unknown, to seek after things that he does not comprehend, understand, or know. And so this is simply fueled by the unknown. The more unknown there is, the greater desire about an individual would have for that. And it's not necessarily in all things, but it's just in maybe hobbies and interest and things and the things that he doesn't know. He seeks to find out about that so that he could be better informed or better educated or more knowledgeable or talented in that area. And this is the very science of most things, the desire to know the unknown. We would see that it is the unknown that would cause men to set sail from overseas and to be able to land upon America and explore and to find, amen, this land that we call America today. And so it is not only exploration, but it is the digging into the things that have already been covered up, such as archaeology. And beyond all of that, there is the science of psychology, anatomy, chemistry, and other human health. That is the desire of mankind to know why something operates the way that it does, why that we operate, why we think the way we think, do the things that we do. Amen. It is because of the unknown. Back in the early ages, there was those that we would label and call philosophers, men like Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato, that were able to influence generations due to the various fields such as ethics, metaphysics, and even logics. And this is just simply because we as humans are wired to wonder why things are, why things exist, why the world revolves, why, amen, the sun shines, why, and all of these things accumulate, or the sum of it all is in science. And in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 25, the Bible said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search a matter out. In the New Living Translation, it says, it is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover things. In other words, God hides things, amen, so that men would seek things. Amen. It is the exercise of the brain. It is what keeps us functioning and going, and God created that within us. We don't have to go very far in Scripture to see this very scientific area experienced or practiced out. We would see that Eve, she did not understand what death was. But she knew that the Lord had said that in whatsoever day that you would eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that you would surely die. And she did not understand what death was, wondering what it was. If I eat of this, will I surely die? And what is death? What does all of that comprehend? And so she was told at some point in time that she could not eat it or touch it. And so she reached out and she touched it, the desire to know. And if I touch it, what will happen? I touched it, nothing happened, nothing's different. And so she explored further. And it was because, amen, of her natural humanity, she reaching out. And I know there is the propensity for sin that is involved in this, but it's just simply the nature of an individual to study, to explore, to go beyond that which you do not know. Amen. So many times we teach our children and we say, you can't do this, you don't do that, don't touch this, don't touch that. And what do they always respond back with? Why? Why? It is the desire to know. It's because it'll burn you. Why? Because that's what stovetops do. Stovetops get hot and they burn you. Why? And it's just like the answer, it's the question to every answer, whatever it is. Why? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Amen. It is inbred into humanity. Amen. After that, the ark had surpassed the flood, and men were populating the earth, and they began to build a tower, the Tower of Babel, and they thought that they would build it unto heaven. Why? They wanted to explore the unknown. They wanted to know where the heavens were. They wanted to know what the heavens consisted of. They wanted to know, amen, where is God? How can I get to God? If I do this, can I get there? Amen. And it was so the power, that desire, innate desire to know. I would submit to you today that all forms of idolatry are a product of this desire to know. The search for the visible and the tangible God. The Bible teaches us that God is a spirit, but that's not good enough for so many people. Amen. They want to know why. They want to know how. And they create because they've got to have a God that they can touch, a God that they can feel, a God that they can see. And even Paul would tell in Acts chapter number 17, he said, I passed by and I beheld your devotions and I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Even that which I don't understand, I'm going to acknowledge. I may not have all of the complications worked out. I may not have everything, but I understand there is something out there and I'm desiring to know it. I'm desiring to find it. I'm desiring to know more about it. As we learned this past Wednesday night, amen, that it was not good for man to be alone. And so the question would be asked, why? Amen. And it's he would seek companionship. He would seek fellowship. And that is in all of humanity to this very day. Amen. The Bible teaches us that no man is an island left unto themselves. And so they're going to seek companionship, seek things that people that think like they think, act like they act, like the things that they like, and continue through all of that. And we're not going to get into all of that today, but it's just simply saying that the human heart is designed by God to seek for a deep connection. More than deep connection, amen, understanding, knowledge in all things, amen. The Bible teaches us that God is not the author of confusion, and that if we seek him, we will find him, amen. And we understand that wisdom shall increase and knowledge shall abound, amen. It's like the proverbial carrot that is forever set before us, amen. And if we get to that and we understand that, that does not satisfy or quench the thirst or the desire, we reach further into the dark with a little bit of light or a little bit of understanding to be able to understand something a little bit better. For the mechanic, it is not just a fact. It's not just good enough to understand that this is a motor and this motor takes gas. And when you crank when you start it, crank, that's Texas vernacular right there. Amen. When you turn the key on, when you turn the ignition on, there is a combustion and it fires and the engine begins to run. And so many people would say that's good enough. But for the mechanic, that's not good enough. He wants to understand
understand that combustible engine. He wants to understand everything about it. And then it goes further than that. How can we make it faster? How can we make it stronger? How can we make it louder? How can we do this? And he's got to learn. And when he gets it to go faster, that's not satisfying enough. He's figured it out. Now I got to figure out how can I make it faster? Amen. And the list goes on and on and on, because it's not just with one little area. It is in every area. Individuals that are enamored by health science, amen, will continue their study to understand the human body and anatomy and things. And then their interest begins to peak in a certain area. And therefore, we have other areas of science, such as anatomy and beyond all of these things. Maybe it peaked and went a different way, and we get into chemistry and physics and all of that. But there is always that element of the unknown that man is seeking after information. I don't know why that this would surprise us very much, for the Bible teaches us that we are made in the image of God, that after the image of God created he male and female. Not only physically are we made like unto him, emotionally we are made like unto him, and even spiritually we are made like unto him. Amen. The whole body, spirit, soul, and body is made like unto the Lord. Amen. The Lord had that innate desire to seek, and he expresses this in our text, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. But I would submit to you today and show you a God that has been a seeker from the beginning of time. However that is, he was before time. But when he initiated time, amen, at whatever point that was, somewhere in the heavens, he was seeking for fellowship, seeking for worship, and the angels fulfilled that desire. When Lucifer was thrown out of the heavens with a third of the angels, and Jesus would say, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from the heavens. It was then after that the Lord began to create the heavens and the earth. And he took the dust of the ground and he formed it, and he breathed into that man image that he had, the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Why? Because God was interested in fellowship. He wanted somebody that would commune with him, somebody that would talk with him, somebody that would, amen, be a friend to him. Amen. And you say, well, that's kind of, no. The Bible talks about Abraham was a friend of God. Why? God was desirous of a friend. He wanted, and throughout the entire Bible, you will see him creating opportunities for fellowship with his creation, with his people. Amen. And then when Adam and Eve had sinned and done their thing, and the voice of the Lord came into the garden in the cool of the day, amen, he became the seeker, and he began to say, Adam, where are you? We know that Adam had hid himself, and Eve had hid herself from the presence of the Almighty. Amen. But that did not detract God. He was on a mission for fellowship, and that was unfulfilled. Adam and Eve weren't where they were, or where they were normally were at the point in time. And so he cries out, Adam, where are you? He began to seek after man, and from that point he has continued to seek after mankind. David said in the book of Psalms, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? Amen. What is it about me that you are so interested in, God? What have I done to attract you? What have I done to deserve this attention? I am just a simple nobody. I don't understand. And so there is that seeking, amen, seeking to know God, seeking to find the man. Amen. We would see that God would look down into a heathen nation and find a man by the name of Abraham, and would begin to communicate with Abraham, who was a heathen, and brought him out of the land of the heathens, and told him, said, look, if you just walk, I'll give it unto you. But God was seeking for fellowship there. Amen. We would see that Abraham had been told about the son that would be born unto him. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord was walking away from him. And he said, shall I hide the thing that I am going to do unto Sodom and Gomorrah? And he turned around and he began to converse with Abraham and said, look, this is what's going to happen. I am set, determined, venturing out, going forth. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham began to commune, amen, with God, and said, amen, for 50 righteous, would you destroy it? For 45, 40, 30, amen, for 10, 15, amen, for 10, would you destroy the righteous with it? And what does the Lord begin to do? The Lord begins to seek after righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And though he looked here and there, amen, and beyond, amen, he could not find those that were righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he would have done it. He was seeking, he was seeking, he was seeking. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. We want a king, and the Lord established a king. And we know that that reign did not last for a very long time at all before God began to look for another man. And he would anoint Samuel. He would tell Samuel, Samuel, I want you to go down to the house of Jesse, and I want you to find me a king. I want you to anoint somebody to be king. And Samuel, understanding some things, said, wait a second, there's already a king, and he's going to have my head if he finds out what I'm doing. And so Samuel went down to Jesse's house, and he told him, he said, we're going to anoint a king here. And they brought the sons of Jesse out before Samuel, and Samuel began to look at them. Samuel didn't know exactly what he was looking for, but God knew what he was looking for. And when he saw Eliab, amen, Samuel said, oh, we're going to make this short and quick. Look at his stature. Look at his muscle tone. Look at his height. Look at him. Amen. He's the specimen of a warrior. I think that this would be a great and a wonderful king. And the Lord said, look at Saul. He's tall. He's muscular. He's head and shoulders above everybody. And that didn't work. I'm not looking on the stature. I'm not looking on the outside. I'm looking beyond what man can see. I'm looking down into the heart of the individual. That's not the one that I'm looking for. Amen. And so Samuel passed on him and brought the next one through and said, surely this one is the one that you would be looking for. And the Lord said, no, that's not the one that I am looking for. I have refused him. And they came and they passed, and they came and they passed. And each time the Lord said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made Shammah to pass. Neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Seven sons passed before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen any of these. You know what that was saying? He's still seeking. He's still looking. He's still trying to find what he is looking for. Amen. We know the story of how that Samuel would tell Jesse, you have another son. They brought David out. And in the book of Acts, in the book of Acts chapter number 13, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony. And he said this, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. God said, I found him. I went looking for him. And there were things that were available. There were options that I could have chosen, but it's not what I was looking for. But when I look past the outside, when I look past, amen, the stature, when I look past what man can look at, I saw something that I was desirous of. I saw something that I could work with. I saw something that was going to be beneficial in the future. All that they saw was just a ruddy little boy. All they saw was just a knobby-kneed teenager. Amen. But God looked past all of that. And he saw something in David. And he said, I found the one that I am looking for. And Samuel would take the vial of oil, the horn of oil, and pour it out upon David, anointing him to be the next king. Amen. God kept looking for things again and again. He was looking. Jeremiah 5:1, he said there was a search for a man that executed judgment and sought the truth. What was he saying? God was saying, I'm looking for somebody that'll just judge righteously. Somebody that's not bought and persuaded, amen, by this and by that, by politics. I'm looking for a man, amen, that will judge, that will execute judgment, amen, and seek the truth to know what he must do. Isaiah 59:16, the Lord said, is there not an intercessor? He was looking for an intercessor. Ezekiel 22:30, he was looking for a man. He said, I sought a man among them that they should make up the hedge. I could preach about that. Amen. The Lord was saying, I need a man to be the hedge in this area here right now. I need a man that'll stand up and to make up the hedge and to stand in the gap that I should not destroy it. He said, but I found none. What is it going to be when God can walk here and there and not find what he is looking for? I'll tell you what it is. He's just going to keep on seeking. He's just going to keep on seeking. He's going to keep on looking. Amen. He is looking. He is looking. It didn't stop in the Old Testament. It went forward in the New Testament. Amen. The Bible teaches us that Jesus told his disciples, I have need to go to Samaria. He went unto the Samaritan woman at the well. Amen. And he began to speak to her. And she said, you're a prophet. He said, the hour is now come that the true worshipers would worship in spirit and in truth. And he said, the Father seeketh those that do this. The eyes of the Lord, the Bible said, run to and fro throughout all of the earth. He's seeking. He's looking for something. What is it? I tell you today, he's looking for fellowship. He's looking for worshipers. He's looking for communication. He's looking for communion. You know what oftentimes he's seeing? He's seeing somebody. I'm preaching here today. He's looking for somebody, but he's sees you in the house of God on Sunday morning and Sunday night, and he may accidentally see you on Wednesday night, but he's looking for you on Monday and he can't find you. You're involved in your life, have no time for him. Tuesday, you forgot about him, have no time for him. Thursday, you're in your own land, in your own life, and you have no time for him. God said, I am looking. I'm not just looking for those that are there at my house on the appointed day, but I'm looking for somebody that's got time for me throughout their day. I'm looking for somebody that I can move upon in the wee hours on a Tuesday morning and say, I'm looking for an intercessor. And the intercessor would stand up and say, here I am, Samuel. Hey man, I got something to talk to you about. Samuel went unto Eli. Eli said, it's not me. The Lord is looking for you. And when he speaks unto you the next time, you open your mouth and say, your servant is here. Here I am, God. Praise God. Praise God. I know that he's looking for true worshipers. I know different times looking for somebody, looking for righteous judgment, intercessors, a man to fill in the gap, looking for the next David, the next Abraham, the friend of God, a man that would seek him with his whole heart. A man after God's own heart. God's looking for these things. Time comes, time goes. Time takes us one and all. Amen. And God goes looking. God goes looking. Amen. I've got written down in my Bible somewhere something I wrote down many, many years ago that I heard an elder speak. And I know it's generated towards preachers, but I think it can go, amen, to further than that. But it just simply said, God spends preachers like we spend nickels. Amen. So as long as the preacher is submitted to God, amen, and doing what God needs to be done,
God's there. But as soon as that man gets high in his own ego, as soon as that man becomes proud in his own ways, amen, it's just God just push him to the side. Amen. It's God gets all the glory. Amen. He said no flesh is going to glory in his presence. God goes looking for another one. God goes looking, trying to find another one. He's looking for a David. He's looking for a Samuel. He's looking for Abraham. He's looking for a Moses. They hid Moses. They hid Moses in the bulrushes, and Pharaoh's daughter found him there. Amen. But Moses went and hid, and God went looking for him and found him on the backside of a desert and say, what are you doing here? I got something that I want you to do. I want you to lead my people out. Elijah, amen, and ran and hid in a cave, and the Spirit of the Lord came and found him there and said, what are you doing here? I've got a job for you to do. I got a mission for you to do. Jonah went and preached to Nineveh, but when he saw the mercies of God bestowed upon the people, he went and hid himself under a gourd and went out, cursed it, and the Lord came down unto him and said, Jonah, what are you doing here? I didn't expect to find you here. Hey man, there's things that have got to be done. Preaching to a church here today that God is looking for somebody. I believe that God is looking for worshipers. I believe that God is looking for witnesses. Hey man, can I just preach to you what I feel in my spirit today? I believe, oh hallelujah, help me, Holy Ghost. I believe that God's looking for Sunday school teachers. I believe that God is looking for music worshipers. I believe that God is looking for praise singers. It's not just the pastor looking for these things. God is saying, I'm looking for these things. I want to know what's in your heart. Are you content to just come and feel? Amen. Or is there a desire that says, God, I desire to please you. And here I am, Lord. God, you're going to have to hurry. I got things I got to do. That's not what God is looking for. Bible said many are called, but few are chosen. What he's saying is there's a whole lot that he can pick, but he looks over them. Few are chosen. It would be enough for somebody to say, well, he didn't choose me. I'll just go on about my... How selfish can we be to a God who, when we were lost in sin, came down and walked amongst us and let himself, amen, be crucified and shed his blood so that we could walk away free, and yet we're so selfish that we would say, eh, I don't want to do any of that. God seeking. I'm closing here this morning. Maybe you would be like Adam, that you would be hid and the Spirit of the Lord would be moving and would say, where are you, Adam? But because you are embarrassed of your current sinful nature, you are embarrassed because of your spiritual nakedness standing before God. But yet there is a God that looks beyond all of that, and still he's seeking for the sinner. The Bible says that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. God doesn't care about your situation. God doesn't care about the embarrassment. God doesn't care about the marks and the scars that are on your life. God doesn't care about what you've done. Amen. God is only interested in saving you. God is interested in finding you before the devil destroys you. We understand that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God's trying to find you before that happens. God
God's trying to spare a few scars on your life. God's trying to spare you a few mistakes being made. God wants to help you in your situations. Maybe you would be like unto Abraham that knows nothing about God. Amen. And you would be here today and thinking to yourself, everything is different. I don't understand any of this. I just want you to know that there is a God that's not interested in how much that you know or you don't know. There's a God that's not interested in how much that you understand, but there is a seeking Savior that wants to introduce you himself unto you. There is a seeking Savior that wants to fulfill you, that wants to help you and cause you to understand and to save you from a heathen world. Maybe you would be like an Eliab that has worked upon his stature, working in the fields, doing the things that he's done, and feels like he's so great. I want you to know that God is looking at you, but God's looking down deeper into your heart today. That's what's interesting unto God. God's not interested in your resume. God's not interested in all the things you can and you can't do. God's not interested in your physical abilities and such like that. God's looking down at your heart because that's the weak area. I just read this week alone, I think that it was a 21, it may have been a 23-year-old marathon runner. Amen. He runs marathons for a living. He's in fit condition, dropped dead of a heart attack. God's not interested in all of that. God's interested in your heart. Amen. Because it's the heart that is given unto life. Amen. We understand that the life is in the blood, but it's the heart that pumps it. Amen. God's interested in not just the physical heart, but the spiritual heart that's there. God sees the propensity that you have to sin. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Hey man, I think I've got it together. I'm physically fit. I'm going to have it. God is saying, I'm seeking after that one. Praise God. Maybe you would be like a David that's sitting on the backside of the wilderness, like a Moses. Amen. Just minding your own business and thinking, I guess this is just what life has called for me. Let's stand here this morning. But yet there is a God that's saying, I'm going to find you. I'm going to find you. And that's why the songwriter would write the song and say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. God saw you. God found you. God helped you. Maybe you would be like a Zacchaeus that is feeble or small in spiritual stature. And you would say, who am I? Why would God have interest in me? But yet there is a desire. I just want to see him. I know he's not really interested in me. I know that I have real nothing to offer unto him. I'll just climb up in a tree from a distance and see him. But God had all of these people surrounding him, pressing him, talking to him, questioning him. Amen. Showing themselves off to God. And God was still looking. He was still looking. And he looked up into a tree and he found him. Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? I found you. Why don't you come down? I'm going to go to your house. My house, look at everybody that's around. You could go to any other house. Lord said, I'm not interested. I want to go to your house. Salvation has come to your house today. Maybe you'd be like the woman at the well. That's messed up and messed up and messed up and messed up 5 times. You know what she was doing at the well at that hour? What everybody else would do at a different hour. But she was shunned. She was looked down upon. She was the discard, the outcast. Because of the ways of life. Messed up, messed up, messed up, messed up. Lord said, I got to go find somebody. I
can just imagine, if you would bear with me in my folly, that maybe the Lord would reach down into his tunic and pull something out and say, Peter, James, you see this? Yes, Lord, we see that. You know what this is? No, what is it? What is it? It's somebody's hope. I found it. They had discarded it along the way. You weren't looking for it, but I was looking. And I found it. I looked it up. It's a Samaritan woman. I have needs to go to Samaria. He walked into Samaria there that day. Looked at the woman in her crass attitude was, I know who I am, and you probably know who I am, because otherwise I wouldn't be here at this time. Maybe the Lord, again, I found this along the way. You know what this is? She'd just have to say, yeah, that's my hope. I threw it away a long time ago. I don't have any hope. I'm a stigma. The Lord said, well, I found it. I thought I would return it unto you. Return it unto me. For what reason? What reason? Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. You're right. You've had five. The one you're with now is not your husband. That's why you lost your hope. All of a sudden, something began to rise. The sun began to shine in her life. And she said, hold on a second. And she took, she ran into the city and she told everybody. She said, come see a man who told me everything that I've ever did. He found me. Found me. Maybe that's you. Maybe God's got something that says hope on it, and God's saying, you recognize this? Yeah, I lost that 20 years ago. Things died in my life. I cast it aside. I don't have any hope. Master's saying, I found it. And I brought it back to its rightful owner. Because through me, there is hope. Maybe you would be like the church of Laodicea individually. And the Lord just summed it all up with these words. King James Version said, behold. That just simply means look, observe. So what the Lord was saying, he said, look. Look. You know, so many times we can't see anything because we got our head hung down. We can't see anything because we got our eyes closed. We refuse to look. And that's what the first thing the Lord says. Look. I want you to look at something. And he said like this. Look. I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open up unto me, I'll come into him and I'll sup with him. And they with me. I don't care who you are today. I don't care how you feel. Nothing matters. There is a seeking Savior that's still looking, seeking to save that which was lost. There's a God of heaven that started moving upon a preacher. Said, I want you to talk about me a little bit more. I want you to tell them, in spite of all the situations, no matter who they acquaint with in life, Adam, Eve, David, Samuel, Saul, Eliab, Shammah, intercessor, Zacchaeus, woman at the well, I stand at the door and knock. And if they'll just open up unto me, I'll come in and I'll commune with them. You may have dropped your hope a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. You may have dropped it on the road somewhere. I don't think I'll be needing that any longer. And you may have said, it's finished. But the Lord kind of walked down the road of your life and He picked up some hope. And it's got your name written on it. And He's come today, June 15, 2025, looking for you. So the altars are open here this morning. Would you come? Would you open up unto Him? He's seeking. He's seeking today.